Well, a pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to Prove All Things. Prove All Things is brought to you each week by the Westlake Church of Christ. Saints, through the call of the gospel, live for their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 24/7 each and every day. And we also assemble each week at 2291 Highway Z in Wentzville. Our assembly times are Sunday morning at 9:30, Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and on Wednesday evening at 7:30. We would very much like to get to know you. We hope you'll visit with us very soon at the Westlake Church of Christ. John 19, verse 38 through 42, provides important facts concerning the burial of Jesus. We read, "And so they took the body of Jesus, and they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." If the Gospel of John was an uninspired biography about a good but nonetheless normal human being, this is where the story would end. There would be no chapters 20 and 21 because there would be nothing more to say. There would be no book of Acts because there would be no Great Commission. There would be no letters of Paul, for Paul would have never been converted. There would be no letters from Peter, for he and the other apostles would have remained in unbelief. There would be no book of Hebrews, for there would be no new law system. No revelation, for death would not have been conquered. I've read many biographies of people from various walks of life, but I've yet to read one where the story of a man's life continued beyond his death because he was raised never to die again. You see, Jesus is different. John chapter 20, verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb." Tombs are for the dead, not for the living. Jesus was alive. And rising from the dead, Jesus fulfilled a thousand-year-old prophecy of David. Psalm 16:10, "Thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow thy Holy One to undergo decay." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38, Paul reveals the resurrection of Jesus as an essential part of the gospel. He said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. That he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." In the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reveals the terrible consequences if Christ had not been raised. If there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain, and you are still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep have perished. And if we've hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. A sadder picture than 1 Corinthians 15 cannot be imagined. On the other hand, if Jesus has been raised, nothing should bring us greater joy. Now, for the remainder of our lesson this morning, let's consider together the blessed implications of the resurrection of Jesus for all who faithfully obey him. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead validates the apostles' teaching. The resurrection was the major theme of apostolic teaching. It was the primary fact about Jesus that changed their lives and therefore their preaching. Reading through Acts and the epistles, you'll find the resurrection of Jesus was given as the primary evidence proving the divinity of Jesus. Now look with me, or consider with me, just a few of the examples. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter said, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." To a different group of Jews in chapter 3, verse 15, Peter said, "But you put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." Before the Jewish Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, they said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health." In Acts 5, verse 30, they said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross." Now we see from these few examples, and there are many more that could be given, the resurrection of Jesus was a major theme of apostolic teaching. It was the number one evidence provided for the divinity of Jesus. In view of these facts, we can put our full confidence in the message of the apostles. The resurrection validates their preaching. It is a God-confirmed message. Today, we need to follow the example of first century disciples, and we need to make the resurrection of Jesus a primary theme in teaching other people the good news of Jesus Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, the resurrection of Jesus validates or confirms our faith. The resurrection is a cornerstone of our faith. Romans 1, 4 states, "He was declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead." What declared Jesus to be the Son of God? His resurrection from the dead. How do we know for certain he is the divine Son? By his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection validates our faith. What other religious leader prophesied that he would die and be raised from the dead a few days later? Not Muhammad, not Gautama, the Buddha, not Krishna and the Hindus. Their bodies are still in their tombs. And yet Jesus boldly prophesied, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I shall raise it up," John 2:19. In Matthew 16:21, he said, "The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, and be killed and raised on the third day." Jesus fulfilled these prophecies to the letter, and therefore the resurrection validates our faith. Should a person believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Should a person obey Jesus' commands to believe and be baptized and remain faithful unto death? Absolutely, in view of such marvelous evidence. The resurrection means our faith is on solid ground. According to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15, the resurrection of Jesus validates the apostles' testimony. The apostles claim that Jesus was raised, and therefore, if he was not raised, then the apostles are found to be liars. They would not simply be mistaken. In Paul's own words, they would be false witnesses. Many do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, yet they refer to Jesus and the apostles as good, decent, honorable men. The Quran calls Jesus a prophet, an apostle of God, and yet denies that he even died. But both Jesus and the apostles made it very clear that Jesus died, he was buried, and raised. And therefore, we must either accept their testimony or be prepared to call the apostles and Jesus false witnesses. There is no middle ground here. There is no room for compromise. Acts chapter 5, verse 32 says, "And we," that is the apostles, "are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And thus we have the testimony of three witnesses concerning Jesus' resurrection: the apostles, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. As Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6 states, "By the testimony of two or three witnesses, let every fact be confirmed." 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17 shows that through the resurrection of Jesus, our sins can be forgiven. Without the resurrection of Jesus, all we are left with is a dead body, a Christ who is powerless to triumph over death, powerless to save us from our sins. In Romans 4:25, unites the resurrection with our salvation. Jesus was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. People may say many things about Jesus, but if he was not raised, then his blood is of no value in saving us. But if Jesus was raised, then he overcame sin and death. What does that mean to us? Everything, friend. It means everything. According to 1 Corinthians 15:18, because Jesus has been raised, all the dead will someday be raised. 1 Corinthians 15:20 calls Jesus the first fruits of those who sleep, that is, those who are dead. Verse 22 tells us, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." What does it mean, Jesus is the first fruits? Others had been resurrected before Jesus: Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. So how is Jesus the first fruits of the dead? The answer to this question can be found in Revelation 1, verse 18. Jesus was the living one. He says, "And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." Lazarus was raised, but Lazarus died again. Jairus' daughter was raised, but she died again. Others were raised, but Jesus was different. When Jesus was raised, he arose never to die again. He is alive forevermore, and so he is the first fruits and the guarantor of all the dead. Sin gives death its power, but Jesus knew no sin, 1 Peter 2:22, and therefore death had no real claim over Jesus. As a result of this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, Jesus' resurrection validates our hope. We have a living hope because it's grounded in a living Savior. 1 Peter 1:3, Peter said, "We are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8, Paul calls the resurrection an essential part of the gospel, and therefore a person cannot deny the resurrection of Jesus and be saved. In 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18, Paul speaks of two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who taught falsehood concerning the resurrection, and Paul says of them, "They've gone astray from the faith." Jesus Christ met death face to face, and he defeated it. The tomb was empty on that first day of the week following his death because Jesus had arisen. Tombs are not for the dead, but for the living. We serve a risen Savior. For any of you who'd like a free copy of these lessons on the resurrection or any of the lessons from Prove All Things, simply write us at Know Your Bible, 2291 Highway Z, Wentzville, Missouri, 63385. Until next week, this is Dempsey Collins urging everyone to prove all things.